Well, praise the Lord. Is it way beyond you? Is it way beyond you tonight?
Yes.
You know you need the Father, right?
Yes.
And it's out of your league, right?
Yes.
Now remember, you said yes to all that stuff, right? Father, we just thank you. We praise you for tonight. We praise you for your presence, your holy angelic hosts that are here walking to and fro throughout the sanctuary. And Father God, you know the needs in here tonight. You know the heart's cries. You know the confusion, the bewilderment, Father. You know it all. So, Father God, we invite you in here right now to straighten the mess up. Get your children on the right path once again. And let your glory fall in such a way, Father God, it'll change and rearrange each and every one of us forever. And, Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Brother Chris taught this morning about we're in a really bad warfare. And it is really bad. I don't care who you talk to. I don't care what prophetic word you read. It's really bad. Some of you, God told you that the enemy is coming after you, and you just weren't quite expecting the way he came, and it took you off guard. Well, he came. And yes, you are caught off guard, and you are walking in some confusion. But God warned you that it was coming, and he was telling you to get up, build up your most holy faith, so that when it come, you wouldn't be caught out there in left field somewhere not knowing what to do. Some of you got caught out there in left field not knowing what to do. And now everybody around about you is wondering what is going on. Well, what's going on is that you're in a battle. And you're anointed. And the enemy's trying to pervert your anointing. Are you listening here tonight? And he will do that if you allow him to. You're going to have to get back on the right track. You're going to have to go to somebody around about you who loves you and cares for you and who will pray for you and tell them, I think I'm going astray. And let them pray for you, deliver you, whatever it takes to get you back on the path that God would have you on. Believe me, if you have a strong anointing on your life and you're going to tear down the kingdom of darkness, he is not going to let you waltz into that anointing that you have and that calling that you have. He's going to fight you tooth and nail. And just like God told me one time, daughter, Satan is coming at you with everything he has in hell. And so now some of you are fighting that fight that I have fought many times. And you know what it is for him to come at you with everything he has in hell. And you know, he doesn't care what he brings at you. He just doesn't care. He's going to destroy you at all costs. He thinks. Don't allow him to destroy you. If we make mistakes, we just repent and we get back up again, dust ourselves off, and we go on. We don't sit there and say, oh my God, what have I done? And how am I going to get out of this mess? You get out of it by saying, God, I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry that I did this thing. Forgive me. And then just go on, because the minute you say that, God's come on the scene. He's already been on the scene. But God comes in like a mighty rushing wind and he erases all that junk out of your life. And he says, come on now. It's just like it never happened. Let's just keep on going. Too many in the body of Christ are sitting down though. Oh, I'm so ashamed. And this, you can't do that. That's what the enemy's wanting you to do. He's wanting you to walk in shame and he's wanting you to sit down. Don't do that. There isn't about anybody in this room that has not made a mistake in their walk with God, more than one, including me. And you know, I was ashamed too, and I said, oh God, I can't believe I even thought that way or even did what I did, but it's yours. I can't do anything about it. Amen. You're going to have to learn to praise the Lord anyway. In other words, no matter what's going on in your life, you have to learn to praise the Lord. And it's through your praising him that you're going to get through this battle that the enemy has us in. Everybody is going through this battle. Maybe not as severely as others, but everybody's going through a battle. And if you don't know that, it'll catch up with you. Smack you right between the eyes. Oh, I didn't know I was going through a battle, but all of a sudden there it came. It hit you, right? Tonight I'm going to teach you on Take Me to the River. And the reason why the enemy's fighting you so hard is he doesn't want you to get to that river. He does not want that river that's inside of you. He does not want it to bubble up and come forth. He does not. And he's doing everything in his power to stop that river right now. That's why a lot of times when I pray for you, God has said that their river's dammed up, and I'll break the dam that's holding the river, because Satan will come and dam up your river. He really will, with circumstances, with loved ones. You know, I don't care what it is. He'll use anything in the book, his book, not God's book. He'll use anything in his book to dam up your river. So we're not going to allow him to do that anymore, are we? No. And we're not going to do stupid things, are we? No. If we do stupid things, we repent, right? And we just go on. Amen? God's told me, I told you some of this, but he told me I was going to go through a time of shame and degradation. And somebody in the lighthouse was going to bring me shame. And so I'm going to say this right now. Whatever you do reflects back on me. Whatever you do out there reflects back on me, because you're sitting under me and I'm supposed to be training you properly. So if you go out there and do something stupid that I told you not to do, they're going to say, oh, they sit under Pastor Barbara, and look what they've done. Are you listening? And, you know, and I really don't care, but I've told you, I don't care if it comes back on me or not, but I've told you, if you're out there acting stupid, or if you're out there acting worldly, and they say, where do you go to church? Please don't tell them that you go to Lighthouse Church. Please don't tell them that, because I don't want them to believe that I condone what you're doing if it's not of God. I don't want it to come back. I don't want them to think, well, I'm not going to that church because look what she tells her people they can do. All right? And some people don't want to come here because of what I do preach, because they know that they can't walk that walk, and so therefore they're not going to sit under that type of preaching, because then, you know, you're only held accountable for what you know. You know that, don't you? Some of you know too much, so it's too bad. You know, so you're going to be held accountable for it. You know, I look around sometimes in praise and worship. I try not to do that because it takes me out of the spirit, but I see some of you standing like dead sticks. Nothing's moving, not even your eyeballs. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with you that you can stand in the house of God with the presence of God in a worship service and not move, not sing? I don't understand that. Then what it's telling me is there's something wrong with your walk. You're not where you should be with God. Because if you can't praise him, then you're dead somewhere, really dead. And you need to take care, find out what's dead in you and get that thing to come alive so that you can worship the Father. Amen. Well, I just don't sing like that. No, you don't sing anyway. You probably sing a lot of worldly songs, but you don't, and hum them and tap your foot to them, but you can't sing in the house of God because there's something in you yet that's still binding you up where you can't do that. Honest truth will set you free. Amen. All right, let's go to Psalm 46:4, and I want you to listen to what you're reading. Get it in your spirit. I don't stand up here. I don't get these messages together with a halfway computer. So just so they can go in one ear and out the other, go over top of your head. Psalm 46:4. There is a river whose stream, now this is God's word. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of our God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. In Psalm 46:4, we are told of a river that exists in heaven. Are you listening here? Quit reading ahead of me. There's a river that exists in heaven. Now, you can read now. But there is another river that directly flows from this heavenly river. It is the river of the Holy Spirit within the believer. We're going to go back and read that whole thing, Nancy, if you have to cover it up. Psalm 46:4 says there is a river see, it's important that you understand this river. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of our God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. In Psalm 46:4, we're told of a river that exists in heaven. But there is another river that directly flows from this heavenly river. It is the river of the Holy Spirit within each one of you sitting here tonight. You each have that river within you. It's up to you to keep it flowing and active. Now, let's go on. Ezekiel 47. Then he brought me back to the door, Ezekiel talking. He brought me back to the door of the temple. I saw a stream flowing eastward from beneath the temple and passing to the right of the altar that is on its south side. Then he brought me outside the wall through the north passageway and around to the eastern entrance where I saw the stream flowing along on the south side of the eastern passageway. Measuring as he went, he took me 1,500 feet east along the stream and told me to go across. At that point, the water was up to my ankles. Some of you have been in the ankle-deep water. It's time to get higher. He measured off another 1,500 feet and told me to cross again. This time the water was up to my knees. Some of you have been there. You need to keep going. 1,500 feet after that, it was up to my waist. Another 1,500 feet, and it had become a river so deep I wouldn't be able to get across unless I were to swim. It was too deep to cross on foot. Now, that's the river that you should be in. You should be in that river that's totally and completely covering you, and the only way you get across it is to swim. We sang Swim, Children, Swim. Well, I hope you swam tonight. Now, he told me to keep in mind what I had seen. Then he led me back along the bank. So I want you to keep in mind what you just heard or read. And now, to my surprise, many trees were growing on both sides of the river. He told me, this river flows east through the desert and the Jordan Valley to the Dead Sea, where it will heal the salty waters and make them fresh and pure. Everything touching the water of this river shall live. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will be healed. Wherever this water flows, everything will live. We're talking about the living river inside of you. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, fishing all the way from Engedi to Engollim. The shores will be filled with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea just as they do the Mediterranean. But the marshes and swamps will not be healed. They will still be salty. All kinds of fruit trees will grow along the riverbanks. The leaves will never turn brown and fall. And there will always be fruit. There will be a new crop every month without fail, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The river from heaven goes into your river of the living of the Holy Spirit inside of you. The fruit will be for food and the leaves for medicine. Now, I want you to stop there. One day just last week, I was sitting here in the service and God started weeping. He said, look around you. He said, my body is so wounded. He said, they're hurting so bad and they're trying to cover it up. Now, saints of God, I want you to listen to what we're going to learn here tonight, because you need to take that river of living water that's inside of you wherever you go, and you need to heal the people wherever you are. Are you listening? Somebody needs to take the healing to the people, even in the body of Christ. You should be sitting in the house of God even tonight, and if somebody beside you is hurting really bad, that river of living water that's flowing through you should flow into them, and they should be touched and healed. Come on. And if that's not happening, then there's something wrong with the body of Christ. Your river is not where it should be. In a vision, Ezekiel was shown this river and told of its function and purpose. First, he was invited to enter its ankle-deep waters. And if you aren't in the river, then God's inviting you into the ankle-deep waters tonight. Water at this shallow level was non-threatening and easy to maneuver in. Ezekiel was in no danger of being swept away in the current or losing control of his balance as long as he stayed in this place with his feet firmly planted. Why do you think that sometimes you're standing up, you're trying to walk, you can't walk? Because you're in more than ankle-deep water, and it's hard to keep your footing in that water. Ezekiel was then taken knee-high and then waist-high into the river. At this level, he could no longer easily move on his own, but was beginning to feel the power of the turbulent waters surrounding him. See why you can't stand? It's because you're feeling the power of God. There was a sense of weightlessness now as he began to feel a part of a force that was much bigger and stronger than himself. See what it says there? There was a sense of weightlessness now as he began to feel a part of a force that was much bigger and stronger than himself. It was a whole new environment with foreign and unfamiliar properties. It was a whole new environment with foreign and unfamiliar properties. Ezekiel could no longer function the same as he did on land or even as he did in the shallow waters. He had to adapt to this new and uncomfortable feeling of the swift current. And you remember when Sister Nancy Willis used to always stagger all over the place. I said, you're going to have to start taking control of that. And when, you know, you have to be able to minister even though the anointing is that strong within you. I told Sister Astrid that too. You have to start being able to operate even with the power of God is that strong on you. So here Ezekiel could no longer function the same as he did on land or even as he did in the shallow waters. He had to adapt. You have to stiffen your knees and do whatever it takes, but stay on your feet so you can minister to the people. He had to adapt to this new and uncomfortable feeling of the swift current. Talking about now becoming part of the river. Just as he was beginning to get used to this new place in the river, Ezekiel was taken to a deeper level where he could no longer feel the river floor beneath him. Come on. God is not going to allow you to stay in the shallow river. He's going to keep taking you higher and higher, well, deeper and deeper and deeper into that river. All right? He now seemed to be part of the river itself. Crossing by foot in his own strength and ability was no longer possible. Remember when God told me, I'm going to take you in the river and I'm going to hold you in the bottom, put my foot on your neck and hold you there till I drowned you. That's what God would like to do to each one of you in here tonight. He wants you to get out of the shallow end of the pool. And he wants you to get into that deep end where he can immerse you totally and completely into his river. In fact, crossing over wasn't even the goal anymore. Let's go back, Nancy. He now seemed to be part of the river itself. Crossing by foot in his own strength and ability was no longer possible. In fact, crossing over wasn't even the goal anymore. Getting to the other side no longer seemed important. What was important now was simply learning to flow with the river. And see, this is what we have to do, saints of God, in your night. We have to simply learn to flow with the river. And then wherever we go, we can flow and God can use the anointing that's inside of us to touch other people's lives and cause their river to become alive, fresh and new. Ezekiel was to become familiar with the way the river turned and eddied. So go back, Nancy. Getting to the other side no longer seemed important. What was important now was simply learning to flow with the river. He was to become familiar with the way the river turned and eddied. In other words, you have to learn to flow with the Holy Spirit. You have to learn to stand on your feet. You have to learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And you have to learn to let him minister through you. The river was the focus. The river was the focus. The destination was not. Instead of you thinking, where are you taking me to, Lord? Where are you taking me to? You need to focus on that river that's flowing within inside of you. As that river becomes alive within you, that's what's going to take you to your destination. Now Ezekiel had to completely surrender his body and will to the relentless, unstoppable torrent. Come on. Swimming with the flow was really his only option now. When you get in that deep, when you allow God to totally and completely submerge you into his river, there's nothing you can do but just go with the flow. Because you've said, God, here I am. You've turned your whole will over to him, your body, your soul, your mind, your spirit. You've turned it over to him, and now you're his. And he's going to take you deep into that river, and he's going to drown you. So that when you come up, all they see is Jesus. And you aren't trying to be number one. You aren't trying to fight the flow, but you're just going with the flow. You're drunk in the Holy Spirit. God, do what you got to do, but I just do it good. Amen. I want you to use me mightily, Lord. Just let my river come alive tonight. And let that thing flow so deep that no matter who I walk past, it's going to change their life. That's where God's taking us right now. You know, everybody's talking about all this great, wonderful revival coming, the great glory drop that's coming, and they're talking about all these exciting things that's going to happen. And I was sitting at my computer this morning, and God said, you've already done all that. Now I'm taking you to deeper things. So we aren't going to talk about what the great revival is going to be like. We're talking about what the great river that's inside of us is like. We're talking about how deep into the river we're going to go. We're talking about how the anointing is going to flow out of us and it's going to touch and change lives. Are you listening here? We've been there. We've been done. We've done all that they're talking about now. God's taking us deeper. How deep do you want to go? That's your choice tonight. Going against the tide. All right. So I said swimming with the flow was really his only option. And that's your only option too. Going against the tide would cause him, Ezekiel, to quickly lose strength, and he was too deep to touch bottom and stand on his own again. You see that? Is it when going against the tide would cause Ezekiel to quickly lose strength, and he was too deep to touch bottom and stand on his own again. How many of you have ever just about drowned? Yeah, when you're going down for the third time, you've yelled, help, help, help. And you go down for the third time, you just all of a sudden just start just, you don't care. I about drowned three different times. You just don't care. You just lose conscience and you're just happy. You're just floating. And all of a sudden you're going, because somebody come in and got you, you know, and dumping all that water out of you. You know, I didn't have any more strength. I fought and I couldn't get any strength, and I just lost all my strength. This is what God wants to do to us. We don't have any strength anymore. We're just going down for the third time. You know, he just drowned us. And now he's going to resurrect us. Finally, Ezekiel was taken to the shore again. Finally. His perspective was no longer on his place and position in the river, but on the purpose of the river itself. See that? Finally, Ezekiel was taken to the shore again. His perspective was no longer on his place and position in the river, but on the purpose of the river itself. I feel so sorry for you guys sitting out there that you need a title, that you need to be seen and glorified. You just done missed the mark. Really, your whole purpose is to be in the river and to have, I'm sorry, for the river to be inside of you, and that river so active and so alive that it's going to touch everything. Everything you touch is going to come alive. Isn't that what the river did? The river was a living, healing entity that flowed with restoration, guys. Didn't God say we're in the time of restoration? When the river reached the seas, they were healed. Trees grew and thrived along its banks, and fish were plentiful within its depths. In other words, wherever you go, healing's going to take place, and there's plenty of fish out there that need your healing touch. There's, you know, we're supposed to be fisher of men. There's plenty of people out there lost and dying, and they're undone. They need your river to be alive, so when you go to them, even when you touch them, they become alive. Come on. The only place where the river would not flow was in the stagnant and inactive waters of the marshes and swamps. And this is talking about the indifferent, hard-hearted souls. The river won't flow there. They were given over to salt. Remember we talked about where the river wouldn't touch some things and it wouldn't do anything for the salt? We all know about salt's ability to season and cause thirst. We also know about its healing properties. Most of the time, salt is good and beneficial. But there is another place in Scripture where salt was associated with peril and death. Let's go to Genesis 19:15. At dawn the next morning, the angels became urgent. Hurry, they said to Lot. Remember, they were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Hurry, they said to Lot, take your wife and your two daughters who are here and get out while you can. I'm telling you tonight, get out while you can. You need to get the river of living waters flowing in you. Get out while you can. Or you will be caught in the destruction of the city. When Lot still hesitated, the angel seized his hand and the hands of his wife and two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city, for the Lord was merciful. And I'm asking the holy angels of God to take your hands tonight. And if you're so dumb that you're not wanting to get out, I want them to drag you out of the world so that it will not destroy you. And he said, the angel said, flee for your lives, the angels told him, and don't look back. Escape to the mountains. Don't stay down here on the plain or you will die. You're going to die if you stay where you're at tonight, saints of God. You're not going to make it. Oh, no, sirs, please, Lot begged. Since you've been so kind to me and saved my life and you've granted me such mercy, let me flee to that little village over there. I forgot the name of the village, but that's why that village is still standing today, because Lot was in it. Instead of into the mountains. For I fear disaster in the mountain. See, the village is close by, and it is just a small one. Please, please, let me go there instead. Don't you see how small it is, and my life will be saved? All right, the angel said. I accept your proposition and won't destroy that little city. See that? How do you know who God might save? You don't know who God might save and deliver out of the hands of the evil one if you just ask. Are you listening here tonight? But hurry, for I can do nothing until you are there. See, this angel could not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah till Lot was safe somewhere. From that time on, that village was named Zoar. Okay, there it was, Zoar, meaning little city. The sun was rising as Lot reached the village. Then the Lord rained down fire and flaming tar from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Not the devil, the Lord did this and utterly destroyed them along with the other cities and villages of the plain. See what he said? In utterly destroying Sodom and Gomorrah along with other cities and villages of the plain, eliminating all life, people, plants, and animals alike. It just wasn't Sodom and Gomorrah that was wiped out. But Lot's wife looked back. I can't understand why anybody looked back at sin. But Lot's wife looked back as she was following along behind him and became a pillar of salt. Even while Sodom was being destroyed and Lot and his family were being led to a new place to begin a new life, Lot's wife would not let go of her former surroundings. What in hell are you holding on to? And I mean in hell. What are you holding on to? What is causing you to keep holding on to your sin so you can go to hell? What is it? Ask yourself, why do I want to still sin? What in hell is drawing me to this sin? He's fine. Listen to what I'm saying. Leave him alone. Because this is important. This is your life that God is dealing with here tonight. The familiar city had become a comfortable place for her, even in spite of its oppressive influence. The familiar city had become a comfortable place for her, even in spite of its oppressive influence. That is going on in some of your lives here tonight too. What you've been familiar with has become a comfortable place, and you don't want to leave that comfortable place to go into the unknown, because you don't know what you're going to commit. No, you don't know what you're going to come into. You really don't know what's going to happen to you in hell either. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you won't let go of your sin nature, I feel sorry, because I've been in hell 3 times. God said to me, you don't need to go to heaven, daughter. You need to go to hell so you can tell the people they really don't want to go there, and you really don't want to go there. When Brother Larry died, when he had his heart surgery and went to hell, he didn't want to be there. He fought like crazy to get out of hell. And God said he really doesn't want to go there again when he dies, because it's utter torment, more torment than he would ever had in his life. Why do you want to go to hell? Why don't you want to go to heaven? I'm asking this night, why don't you want to let go of that sin nature and get yourself right and go to heaven? You don't know when you're going to die. You really don't. God told me your rapture is the day that you die. You could walk out of here and drop dead. You could drop dead sitting right here. Listen to this. If your life's not right, you're not going to heaven. All right. Once Lot's wife made the decision to turn back, that choice changed her forever. She became a useless pillar of salt that could no longer go back or move forward. So when you make a decision that you like what you're leaving behind more than what God, more than the unknown that God's taken you into, you become a useless pillar of salt. You can't go back and you can't move forward. You're just in a stagnant spot. Her decision, now listen to this, her decision caused death to a new dream, a new life, and even to herself. Her decision to desire what God wanted her to leave behind caused death to a new dream, a new life, and even to herself. When God told me, he said, whenever God was took me, you know, drop what used to be here, all the revivals, he said, and then I kept saying, God, why can't we have what we used to have? God said, quit desiring what you used to have, because what I'm taking you into is so much better than what I'm leaving, what you're leaving behind, even though what you're leaving behind was really wonderful. Are you listening? God is calling each and every one of us in here tonight to let go of what we've had, because he wants to take us into something so much greater. Come on. And I'm going to tell you, what I left behind was so much greater than I've been going through for the last 10 years. The last 10 years have been like going through a dry pit of hell. But God said, daughter, keep going, because what I'm taking you into is so much greater. So God might have asked you to let the past go, and you let the past go, but all hell is broken loose against you. Don't want to go back to what you used to have, because the devil's trying to get you to think, oh, I was better off back there. Were you really? Were you really? You just thought you were. Because what he's taken us into is so much greater. Amen. You wait to... You know, one time God said to me, the river was running deep and wide. I could see it splashing up on the walls. And he told the people to come to get into the river. Some didn't come get in the river. And he said, those of you who didn't come get in the river, one day you're going to be standing on the riverbank wishing you would have gotten into the river. Because then I won't let you get into the river. So what I'm asking you to do tonight at the end of this thing, I hope you take God up on it. Because he's not going to come back this way again. All right? Journey to a new, don't you wish Brother Chris is up here giving you a message? Journey to a new land. Unlike Abraham, who by faith, now listen, unlike Abraham, who by faith left all that was known to him behind in order to go to an unfamiliar place in an unfamiliar land, Lot's wife turned back, unwilling and unable to believe that God had something better for her up ahead. She lacked both the desire and the faith to move on. Let's go back up there again. Unlike Abraham, who by faith, you see, everything you do, you have to do by faith. That's why before God ever took me out of the revival mode I was in, he told me, he said, daughter, from today on, you're going to have to walk by total faith, because I'm getting ready to change your life. And boy, he wasn't lying. I've had to walk by faith ever since that day. Unlike Abraham, who by faith left all that was known to him behind in order to go to an unfamiliar place in an unfamiliar land. See that? Lot's wife turned back, unwilling and unable to believe that God had something better for her up ahead. She lacked both the desire and the faith to move on. The known can become a place that we don't necessarily enjoy or dislike. We don't dislike it and we don't enjoy it. It is a place like the Sinai Desert where we may want the scenery to change, but we don't really want to meet the challenges before us to get to a new place. Everybody that God's taken to new places, you are being challenged right now like you've never been challenged before. It's going to be up to you whether or not you make this. The familiar and comfortable become a desert where we aimlessly wander around in the same place for years, but never really get anywhere. The familiar and the comfortable become a desert where we aimlessly wander around in the same places for years, but never really get anywhere. This known place requires no effort or faith. The place that you're in that you know and you're familiar with requires no effort or faith. But we can convince and comfort ourselves in the illusion that we will get there someday anyway. No, you won't. No, you won't. You'll stay right where you're at and you won't go anywhere. You're just treading water. We lull ourselves into a kind of pleasant sleepiness where we don't want to be bothered or awakened from our dreamy state of lethargic, undisturbed inertia. The children of Israel, thank you. The children of Israel were first caught up in the excitement of moving on to a new place of freedom promised to them by God. But once the journey became hard, the food became scarce, and the scenery was unchanging and barren, they opted to turn back to the bondage of the known instead of pressing on to greater horizons. Because it says in Numbers 14:3, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us elect a leader and return to Egypt. Whenever God stopped the revival and the anointing wasn't here anymore the way it was and the healings weren't taking place and the angels weren't dancing through the place, I said, God, let me close the doors. That's just like them saying, let's go back. He said, I'm not letting you do nothing. You're not closing no doors. You're going to keep marching forward. So I'm hoping he's saying to you tonight, I'm not closing no doors. I'm calling you to come forward. I'm calling you to leave behind what you're familiar with. I'm calling you to go into the unfamiliar area and just have faith in me, knowing that I know what I'm doing and I'm going to bring you through. This new land would ensure blessing and freedom, but, you know, where he was taking the Israelite children to, but the journey to get there would require faith and challenging hardships and giants. This new land would ensure each one of us blessing and freedom, but the journey to get there where God wants us to go requires your faith and challenging hardships and giants. Come on. We can choose to be like Lot's wife and the Israelites. We can stay in a place of immovability, sin, stagnation, bondage, or even the comfort delusion brings. The known and safe places of the familiar can keep us from moving to better and deeper places in God. I'm going to read that to you again. I want you to read it yourself too. We can choose to be like Lot's wife and the Israelites. We can stay in a place of immovability, sin, stagnation, bondage, or even the comfort delusion brings. The known and safe places of the familiar can keep us from moving to better and deeper places in God. Really, how deep do you want to go in God? That's his question to you. How deep do you want to go in him? He'll let you wade around in the kiddie pool if that's what you want to do, but he's not going to use you to do anything. We can choose to stay in the ankle-deep waters of the spirit-filled life and even feel the little current of its flow around us, but we will never move out into the place where we are consumed by his torrential life-giving power. We will only witness from the shore those who have desired and chosen to swim into deeper waters. Remember, I said that earlier, that God said you'll be standing on the riverbank wishing you could get in, and I'm not going to let you in. I'm just not going to let you. You know, you've been dumb too long. I'm sorry, but you have been dumb too long. It's time to get out of the wading pool and get into the water that totally and completely consumes you. Not even ankle deep or waist deep. It's time you get drowned. We can walk out as far as we want into the river and the Holy Spirit will be there encouraging us to come deeper and deeper still. We can walk, out in, out as far as we want into the river, and the Holy Spirit will be there encouraging us to come deeper and deeper still. He will never chide us or turn away from us for only wanting to go in so far. He won't. But we will also never know the freedom, power, release, joy, and refreshing of going in over our heads. You really don't want to stay in the kiddie pool. You really don't even want to stay waist deep. I'm telling you, you really want God to drown you. You really do. Because you know, there's, I don't care how much warfare you go through. I go through warfare every day, but I enjoy my walk in the being drowned. I enjoy that. I enjoy my life in that water over my head. I enjoy the Holy Spirit running through me. I enjoy the Holy Spirit talking to me and showing me things. I have great freedom in that river, no matter what's going on around about me. I don't care how much the devil fights me. He's stupid. Because he's touching the apple of God's eye. And God's already after him. God already has him assigned to death. I have nothing to fear. I really don't, because God's with me and I know it. I don't care if people call me stupid. Hey, they're the ones that are stupid, not me. I'm having a good time swimming. Amen. All right, I think I said the transition from shallow to deep waters requires faith and a letting go. Let's start in at the top of that, Nancy. The freedom, power, release, joy, and refreshing of going in over our heads. You'll never enjoy that if you don't get into the deep waters. So then I said the transition from shallow to deep waters requires faith and a letting go. You have to let go. You have to let go. You can't hold on what you were familiar with. You have to let go if you're going to get into the deep waters. You have to let go of the things God told you to let go of. But it mostly requires a desire to go deeper and a willingness to be swept away in the current of his purposes alone. But it mostly requires a desire. You have to desire to go deeper and a willingness to be swept away in the current of his purposes alone. There is a reward in the deep places that is not found in the shallow places. Saints, you have to let go of your desires in life. And you have to say, God, your will be done in my life and only your will. That's the only way you're going to swim in the deep, deep waters. Your life no longer exists. You've given it over to God. Your family no longer exists. You've given them over to God and you've said, God, I am a vessel of honor that you can work through and you'll take care of everything else around about me because I just want to be immersed in that water with you. Amen. That doesn't mean your family doesn't cease to exist. They still cease to exist, but it does mean you're no longer going to be consumed by their situations. It means you've given them those situations over to God because you can't be consumed by the situations of your family and still be in the deep waters with God. I'm telling you, you can't. I've tried it. It doesn't work. You have to totally and completely trust God with your family. There is a reward in the deep places that is not found in the shallow places. It is where we can no longer touch bottom or stand on our own two feet. It is where the living waters can rush over and around us continually in an unstoppable fervor to reach dry places. It is where the living waters can rush over and around us continually in an unstoppable fervor to reach dry places. It is surrender's reward itself that causes life, healing, and restoration to every place it flows. Are you listening here? It is surrender's reward itself that carries life, healing, and restoration to every place it flows. Now, what do you want out of life with God? If you just want to wait in a kiddie pool, there's a Methodist church probably in any corner that you can go to. And they'll let you sit there. And they'll never try to make you get out of your comfort zone. They'll let you stay in that comfort zone. But if you've walked into this church and then you've walked into it again and walked into it again, then you said to God, I want to be drowned in that river. I want to be used to the fullest, Father. I want all the junk taken out of me, and I want you to use me. I don't want to sit on the riverbank and watch everybody else being used. I want you to use me any way you desire to use me. Come on. There's a whole lot of dead churches around that you can stay dead in. But if you come here, see, the trouble is, here I am, Lord. I want to go to the lighthouse. I want what they've got. But then you came here and the devil came too into your life to harass you. He came to turn you upside down, inside out. He came to fight you. He did it to me. And I was in the Lighthouse Church when it started. I started it. Well, God started. And you know, I was in this stuff for years and years. Then all of a sudden one day God told me, he's the devil's coming after you now. With everything he has, he's going to bring all hell at you. It's going to be hard. But I'm with you. I'm forewarning you that it's coming. He said he's going to turn you every which way but loose. He's going to turn you inside out, upside down. But when the battle's over, you will be standing on your feet. You will be looking at me and you will be praising me, and the devil would have lost. So I'm telling you that the battle's coming after you. So I'm warning you, don't go into the deep waters if you can't take the fight. If you can't stand the fire, get out of it now. Because Satan's going to come after you with everything he has, because you have to be tested and you have to be tried by fire. So that God can prove to Satan he can't take you out when he sends you out. That's what it's all about. Satan's telling God, they'll fall when you send them out. And God said, no, I'm going to let them be tested by fire. So when they go out, you won't be able to touch them. You won't be able to bring them down and give me a bad name and put shame on them. So what do you want from God? You know, if you want to fight, then you're going to say, God, I want to be drowned in your river. If you don't want to fight, you're going to say, God, I think I'll just go someplace else. I'll back tread a little bit here. It's up to you. Come on. And then God said, tonight, he's calling each one of us to desire to go deeper. So I want you to think about it. Do you really want to go deeper than you are right now? And be willing to allow him to sweep us away into the current of his purposes and only his purposes. What you desire no longer exists. You hearing me? You know, whenever you drop your desires and say, God, whatever you want to do with me, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be so happy you won't be able to stand yourself. Because what God brings you into is so wonderful. You couldn't even imagine doing what God wants to do with you. You can't. You can't. God is also calling each one of us into the deep places of his river, where the waters will overtake you and bring you into the fullness of the glory. See, he told me this, so I wrote it on a different piece of paper, because this is what he wants to do with you. This is him speaking. He said this river he's been talking about all night is a river of the Holy Spirit within the believer. So you already have that river inside of you. Why waste all that water? Why waste all that anointing when you can take it wherever you go? And that anointing in you will bubble up and come out and touch whoever you're around. You know why sometimes people get so furious with you is because the devil in them can't stand the river inside of you. So it has to come against you and cuss you and say all manner of evil about you because you're driving it insane. So instead of us getting all upset because somebody cusses at us and says all manner of evil about us, we ought to be giggling inside and saying, go ahead, devil. You can't stand this river that I have inside me. Go ahead and shoot your mouth off, because you just showed me that the river is alive with inside of me. Come on. We act like little babies. You know, little Isaiah runs and he drops his diaper. You know, I want you to drop your diaper tonight. And I want you to grow up. And I want you to get in and really desire. You have to desire. God is calling each one of us to desire to go deeper. Tonight, before you come up this altar, you have to desire to go deeper in God. Don't come up here just playing a game with God. Come on. Well, thank you. You have to desire to go deeper and then be willing for him to do whatever he wants to do with you. So if you decided that, the altar's open. But this is not game time. This is not game time. This is a deep, deep, deep calling tonight.